I love this photograph of Martha Jackson standing outside of her New York gallery located at 32 East 69th Street. It's from the UB Anderson Gallery, which holds the Martha Jackson Gallery Archives in Buffalo, New York. While I was working on my master's thesis at the University of Buffalo, I had the pleasure of spending many hours at this archive conducting research on Martha Jackson, as well as Grace Hartigan and Joan Mitchell. While we don't have documentation of who took the photograph, we can date it based on the sign in the gallery window. It reads, Martha Jackson Gallery, Bob Thompson, opening September 21st. We know from exhibition records that the exhibition, Bob Thompson, New Paintings, was held from September 21st through October 9th, 1965, so this photograph was likely taken in the summer of 1965. In the photograph, Jackson stands on the sidewalk in front of the gallery, wearing a smart checkered suit. The rising sun warmly lights the left side of her face from our perspective as viewers. She stands squarely facing the camera as her eyes confidently meet our gaze. Yet her expression is not one of beaming pride. It's more understated. Her faint smile might suggest a quiet pride and perhaps an impatience with the photographer. She's ready to get to work. The last aspect of this photograph I'll highlight is the bold lettering in the gallery windows. The white script proclaims to all passersby that this is the Martha Jackson Gallery. I love the unique font choice, which was used on all printed materials related to the gallery. The curved capital letters look like they were painted with a thick brush. Each line has an undulating thickness that gives the letters an energy. So by now you're probably wondering, who is Martha Jackson and why is she important? I'll give you a little of her biography and then give you two key points about her art world impact. Martha Kellogg Jackson was born in Buffalo, New York in 1907 to a socially prominent family who owned the Kellogg Chemical Company. She studied English at Smith College from 1925 to 28, and upon returning to Buffalo, served on the Albright Art Gallery's Members Advisory Council in 1944. It wasn't until she moved to Baltimore in the mid-1940s that she began to study art. She enrolled in a modern art course at the Baltimore Museum of Art and took courses in art history at Johns Hopkins University. In 1949, Jackson moved to New York City, where she studied painting at the Hans Hofmann School of Art. Hofmann encouraged her to open an art gallery rather than pursue a career as an artist. With an inheritance from her mother, Jackson opened the Martha Jackson Gallery and a converted brownstone at 22 East 66th Street in New York City in 1953. In 1956, she relocated the gallery to East 69th Street, the one pictured in this photograph. Jackson successfully ran her gallery until her untimely death in 1969, and the gallery continued operating into the 1970s. The first point I'd like you to know about Jackson is that she was able to open, expand, and run a successful gallery in New York City at a moment when New York gallery owners held great power and few of them were women. Jackson did not receive encouragement or financial support from her father or grandfather. Her grandfather made it clear that he would not support her if the gallery failed. Although her father helped her pay for a house, he never supported her running a gallery. Jackson remembered in a 1969 Smithsonian oral history interview, quote, "My father thought I'd just buy paintings. He still thinks this. And that they'd never be able to be sold, or that if I did sell them, it would be at a great loss." She continued, "It's very hard to convince my father that a woman is any good in business. It's very difficult." From Jackson's recollections, I think we get a sense of the personal challenges she overcame to pursue her love of art and build a successful business. The second point I want to highlight is that Jackson had a visionary eye for artistic talent and created a new business model that supported artists. In this unique model, Jackson created contracts in which she paid the artist a monthly stipend or promised to buy a certain number of works from the artist. In return for the stipend, she had rights to purchase works from the artist at 50% the retail price. This system was mutually beneficial. The artist could focus on painting because of the contractual stipend, and Jackson had exclusive rights to works. Over her career, Jackson championed the careers of an unusual number of women and minority artists in comparison to her contemporaries. Artists you may be familiar with include Louise Nevelson, Grace Hartigan, Mary Soule, Joan Mitchell, Chryssa, Claire Falkenstein, Elzer Kortor, Bob Thompson, and Emilio Cruz. The importance of Jackson's role as an art dealer and collector is underscored by a remark she made in a 1969 interview. Acknowledging the gendered bias in the art world at this moment, she describes how she embraced the opportunity to exhibit the work of talented women artists. Jackson stated, quote, Garrison, who showed sculpture at the time, or you might say was the main dealer in European sculpture, turned Erica Brousson down. This was because she was a woman. So I ended up showing the most famous women sculptures of the generation. Not only was Jackson an astute businesswoman who built a successful gallery and fostered the careers of prominent artists, she also collected artwork and built an impressive private collection. Following her death, her son and daughter-in-law, David and Becky Anderson, donated these works to the National Museum of American Art, the Hirshhorn Museum, and the Albright Knox Art Gallery. So the next time you're in Washington, D.C. or Buffalo, New York, keep your eye out for works in the Martha Jackson Memorial Collection.